As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Give us a grade. How are we in terms of securing our border, our southern border first? How is it an A, B, C, D, E, or F? In terms of the security of America's southern border, is it an A or an F? Where do you grade it?
Senator, I'm
looking for a letter.
Senator, it's not so straightforward.
Sure it is. We know how many people are coming across. Are we doing a great job, or is it like still failing?
Senator, the issue of addressing the root causes is not exclusive.
I have a question, which is, can you grade how secure our southern border is, an A through an F?
Senator, we are dedicating our resources to achieve the maximum possible effect of them.
Are we succeeding? Is it an A or is it B, a D? Where are we in terms of the number of people coming across the border? For instance, we have gaps in a wall. It's like, why wouldn't you want to just complete the wall, for Pete's sakes? Complete the fencing and make sure that we're in every way we can securing it, at least physically, as well as the other sources that we have.
Senator,
but are you're not willing to give it a grade? I mean, I am. It's an F. It's clearly an F.
No, he doesn't want to give it a grade because then he has to indict himself. He has to indict himself on something. That's the issue. Woo-hoo. He's really bad at his job, by the way. It's Alejandro Mayorkas. He's so bad at his job. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you and a number of things. I was a little sassy. I actually still am. So I'm going to explain all of that because I'm frustrated and I'm mad at a lot of things right now. A lot of things. So welcome to the show, right? We're just going to jump right into it. I hope you signed up for the email newsletter, Chapter and Verse, because some of the stuff is actually on that. And you can go and read some of the things that I'm going to be hitting today. I have a bunch of stuff up there. And of course, always listen. You're listening. You can listen in an affiliate near you. You can stream the show. You can watch the simulcast. The links are everywhere. We all know. I just want to jump into it without having to spend too much time on some administrative stuff. The problem that I keep seeing, first and foremost, and I don't want Republicans to lose sight of the importance of messaging on this, because I mean, everything from the border, like, for instance, you know, the story that we talked about like 3 weeks ago that the New York Times did, and they were talking about, you know, who are the people responsible for this major influx of children at the border, and how we've lost, I can't remember what the number was that I had cited. We lost contact with almost a couple of 100,000 illegal entrants at the border who are minors, and that, I mean, the New York Times actually wrote, they wrote an actual legitimate piece on this, and nobody really, really talked about it. Now it's all getting out there. I'm glad that it's all getting out there. It's all getting out there because apparently some of these other Republicans were paying attention, thank heavens, but you have Mayorkas who can't answer a single thing. He can't actually discuss the border. He also can't say anything about Chinese spy balloons either. Audio soundbite one on this. He also, I mean, when I heard this clip yesterday evening after radio, I thought, wait, that sounds like, wait, there's more. There's more balloons, right? That's what I heard, right? Listen to this. Listen, tell me if I'm wrong.
I will share with you, with respect to the Chinese spy balloon,
if it's the one that to which I think you refer, that we shot it down because of the concern we had with respect to its purpose and identity.
The one that he...
Wait a minute.
The one that they shot down... Wait, there are others that you didn't? Right? You guys got this, right? I'm not nuts.
Right.
I'm not like purposefully looking too much into this, correct?
Correct.
That's exactly what that sounded like. How many more of them are there? Oh, wait. Damn, you the jig is up. We accidentally gave it away that there are more. Woo! Exactly. Now you see. So I want Republicans to stay on this and to keep this focus. Because I think it's kind of important, the fact that we got all these, you know, Chinese spy balloons out there. If I was the president of the United States, I would give you Joe Biden advice. I would say go out there because, you know, I'd say go out there and just, you see a balloon up in the sky, you shoot that balloon. Although it's like really far up in the sky and you kind of need a jet. But, you know, you get my point, right? I'd be taking these damn things down. Although I don't know that I want our government to do it now under this administration, because apparently they couldn't tell the difference between like a junior high classroom weather project and an actual Chinese military spy balloon. I mean, what the hell do we get robbed of all of our tax dollars for yesterday? By the way, I'm really sorry that I overloaded you with taxation as theft means. And by sorry, I mean I'm actually not sorry at all. I meant to do it. And I meant it. Every image. Even on Instagram. All of them. In your newsletter and on Instagram. It was everywhere. It was bad, but I meant it. Anyway, what did we pay all that for? I would think...
Best and the brightest?
Who was the one who was like, yeah, that looks like it's a spy balloon, and it was like some class's project? I hope that some child used that as an excuse for not having something done this year. Well, ma'am, the government shot down my project. I really hope. Let this happen. Let this happen. So that's... We also have the vote in the House, the Republican House, on women in sports, etc. That's going to be taking place. That vote's taking place tomorrow. And then there's going to be a showdown with the White House, although Biden said he's going to veto it. There's going to be a showdown with the White House over the Women's Protection in Sports Act. Biden's not going to want to protect women in sports. The messaging narrative is going to be crazy. It's going to be a messaging war, an absolute messaging war. Okay, so... I want to get into a couple of other things. I'm going to get mad. I'm already mad. So like, how is this going to help? Did you see this Politico piece, Kane? It was the first thing I put on the rundown last night. I mean, it was the first thing. I had so much hate in my heart when I wrote this on the rundown. The Bidens made $579,000 last year. Okay, first off, the headline's not even done. I'm not even going to make it that far into it. That is a hot, steaming pile of turds. We know that they've made a hell of a lot more than that. CEFC is CCP, the Chinese Communist government. That is their energy company that partnered with the Biden firm in order to take control over cobalt mines and push in Biden's and Democrats' Green New Deal so that Democrats can have us prostrate in front of the CCP, right? So we all know that that doesn't include the Chinese Communist Party, their dollars into this. Let's all be real about it, okay? So that said, they made $579,000 last year, and they paid just a 23%, almost 24% tax rate, according to their returns. How is it that I pay more in taxes than Joe Biden? Oh my gosh, I don't have enough knuckles to bite on my hands. How is it that I pay more in tax than President McUnity cheese brain smokes cracks a lot, son?
Who you know?
It's D different. That's right. You think that they're going to get audited? Hell no. You know they're not going to get audited. He's rolling around in his Chinese communist cash like Scrooge McDuck with his gold bullions. You know this. It says they paid $137 in federal income taxes. Oh, I know. You'd have heart attacks. I pay a higher tax rate than Joe Biden. I paid a higher tax rate than Barack Obama, even when I made less than Barack Obama. It's because they're D different, guys. Hey, yay. They paid less. Now, I was also reading, I put this in your email prep. You're going to also get mad over this. Headline, how the U.S. is subsidizing high-risk homebuyers at the cost of those with good credit. So you have this revamp of federal rules via the New York Post on mortgage fees, and they're going to offer discounted rates for homebuyers that have riskier credit backgrounds and force higher credit homebuyers to foot the bill. It's called loan level price adjustments. It goes into effect May 1st. It's going to affect mortgages originating at private banks nationwide, from Wells Fargo to JP Morgan Chase, tweaking interest rates paid by people. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to totally mute myself for the next 5 minutes. Oh my gosh. I'm wearing my Patch Ops hat today, patchops.com, because I mean it. I mean it, for real.
What the hell?
Uh-huh. Oh, wait. Do you want me to share more about this article, Kane?
You may want to repeat that for people who didn't believe what they heard.
Can we? I think we're going to need John Rich's whiskey today. We're going to have to break out the Granny Rich Reserve, man. I'm telling you what. Yeah. We're going to have to bust it out. We're there. It's all ready. Put your juicy juices up, Kane. Put your weird-ass green juice up there that you have. What is that? That looks like pond water.
Pry it out of my cold dead hands.
He's got a cup of pond water.
My cold dead hands, Dana.
You're going to need more than that, Kane, to get through the story. Oh, my gosh. All right. So in case you missed it because you lost your mind briefly because of what I said as Kane swirls his pond water. That is so nasty, dude. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. You know what? That looks like one of the levels I played in Warhammer last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was the swamp part with the rot bloods. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So the, I said that. The story, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're going to enact changes to fees known as loan level price adjustments on May 1st that will affect mortgages originating at private banks nationwide, from Wells Fargo to JP Morgan Chase, tweaking interest rates paid by the vast majority of homebuyers. It's a little notice revamp of these federal rules on mortgage fees. It's going to offer discounted rates for homebuyers that have riskier credit backgrounds and force higher credit homebuyers to foot the bill, says the Post. Uh-huh. But wait, there's more. With the purchase of one slab chop, you don't get anything. You get more taxes. The result is going to be pricier monthly mortgage payments for most home buyers, as you know. A really nice kick in the jimmies for everybody who worked for years to build their credit, only to face higher costs than they expected as part of a housing affordability push, because some people just can't get their crap together. I said it. Yes. And? Are you okay?
All right, like I said, I worked mortgages for several years. I understand the whole ins and outs of it, right? Right now, interest rates, because of the Fed rate hikes, are through the roof on mortgages. So therefore, already expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They're now tacking this onto it, where people with good credit are paying, essentially subsidizing those with bad credit. And not only that, but the people with bad credit get fewer fees. This will not go well.
Mm-hmm.
This is upside down world.
Oh, it's upside down world. It's unprecedented. So you're telling me, so what they're doing is that people who have riskier credit backgrounds, who are less likely to fulfill the terms of their loan, are getting subsidies from the people who work their asses off and do everything by the book, and then now they're expected to cover the cost for everyone else.
Absurdity.
It's communism. I mean, you come and physically make me. Let's just do this now. I'm ready. I'm literally ready to dump crap in the harbor and dress up with the Sons of Liberty and get going. I'm done. I mean, for crying out loud, we lost our minds over a Stamp Act tax on like tea and paper goods.
Right.
And now here we're like, yes, Mr. Government, you can take 60% of everything we have. I mean, I'm done. I got to come back to this. I'm not done with this piece. I have a lot more, guys, where this came from. Also, I'm going to kick a bunch of NatCons in the jimmies. We're talking about all the jimmies today. I'm so tired of certain people in the Republican Party lionizing the welfare state that is Hungary. I said it, the welfare state that is Hungary. I'm going to explain to people who are old enough to know better and are probably some of the driving forces behind this Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac ridiculousness, why, even if it's done in Hungary and they call it a subsidy, it's still welfare. We're going to explain that. We're going to have a whole bunch of conversation today. Taking all comers, fight me. Let's go. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at GoodRanchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was too busy talking about 40K and how I pre-ordered it to actually get ready for this. A couple used a guillotine to, this is actual dedication, first off, let me just add, and very theatrical. They used a guillotine to behead themselves in a sacrificial fire ritual. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is from Yahoo News. Man and wife from India, they legit straight up used a guillotine to decapitate themselves as a part of this ritualistic sacrifice. The 38-year-old man and his 35-year-old wife, it killed them. It was a homemade bladed mechanism in a hut on their farm in a province in India. They said that they had a fire altar and that's some dedication and theatrics. I don't encourage people to do that, but that's, you know, a new way. A toddler crawled through the White House fence, was apprehended. I mean, kids are hyper. It's understandable. Russia unveiled a secret weapon to target SpaceX's Starlink in Ukraine. If only they could actually target and do something about their economy. That would be great. And also shaky skinny leg Putin. Maybe they could, target his health. Twitter removes a policy against dead naming transgender people, which are two made up phrases that talk about using the correct name for the person who was actually born with, you know, dude genitals or lady genitals. It's a big thing. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Taking all comers. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Every grocery store looks like this. Everything is either on the floor. Look at this. Can't even get food for my kids, G. Look at this. Came in the store to try to buy something because I'm not a thief. Look at this. In my hood, can't even get no food for my kids. Babies need milk. Can't even get nothing for my kids, bro. I feel like an animal, and black people made me feel like an animal. Y'all did this to us. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the store. Look at this. But this is what we're fighting for. This is honoring George Floyd. People who already couldn't feed their kids, now they really can't feed
their
kids.
This actually breaks my heart, this woman. I mean, I saw this last night, and that was a gut punch. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. top of this, actually bottom of this first hour. That was a rough video to watch. I really legit, I felt for her. I just wanted to hug her. And then Amazon Prime or some stuff. That was hard to watch. And that wasn't the only video like that. Where you had people who went, you know, needed items. They needed food. They needed stuff for their, they stopped in. She said, you know, I came here to buy something because I'm not a thief. She's like, and look what happened. Look at everything here. What is the point of that? This is Chicago. What's the point of that? People hurt their own communities. And then you have the politicians there who are excusing it. You had Lori Lightfoot and the mayor-elect saying, oh, they're protesting against, you know, poverty, or they're protesting against this, that it changes depending on, you know, everything that, you know, I don't know, depending on the politics of it. And I look at the and a lot of them are teenagers. A lot of them are young adults, too. These are like grown people who should know better. With the iPhones and, you know, the dress real, I mean, actually dress nice and expensive athleisure, really. I mean, I saw somebody wearing, I can't remember what brand it was, but I know it's like a sweatshirt that's like a couple $100 at Saks. I can't even remember what kind it was. Somebody else had, what is it, like a Moschino hat on? That's not cheap. How in the hell are you sitting here saying that you're protesting poverty when you're wearing a hat that's like some people's wages for the week? How are you protesting against poverty with that? How does destroying something like that and taking an affordable place that's actually affordable compared to Whole Foods or Central Market or some of these other stores out there, it's actually affordable. How is destroying that somehow helping the very poverty or the very people that you claim to be out there rioting for? That's people just being thugs. It's people being criminals. It's people being delinquents. That's what it is. Don't sit here and make excuses for that. Coddling criminality gets you more criminality. It's sad. I just felt so bad for her. Oh my gosh. You should not feel that way walking into any kind of grocery store, a Walmart, no less, a Walmart Supercenter in the United States of America. I mean, what is the, I mean, honestly, there is a really huge push by the left to destabilize the United States, to incite violence and to drive division. So last night, one of my friends was doxxed. Somebody over at Daily Wire was doxxed and my friend's number came out in it. And there were people calling my friend, scaring the hell out of them and her family. And just it had to change her number because people were sharing it online. I apologize to everybody on Twitter. I'm going to tell you something, though. I mean, I know I'm not like, you know, some of these broadcasters and commentators out there who, you know, went and started at a, you know, local news affiliate and went up. No, I started in the streets, literally. I did Oppo and I was an activist and I wrote. That's what I did. When I was in college, I literally squatted in an abandoned building and churned out a zine. No joke. So I kind of got started in this a little bit, and I still keep some of the rough around the edges aesthetic. It's just, you know, how I am. And I'm human. And when I see people who are my friends, who are not public figures, targeted by these rat bastards on the left, I get mad. I don't get intimidated. I get mad. I don't get scared. I get mad. And I watched this unfold last night, and I saw some pretty brave people. There was a dude who was dumb enough to have his real estate profile on his name and on his account. Man, I was gearing up to do some pretty unchristian stuff. I had his business. I had everything. I pulled his voting record. I had his tax info. I can get stuff on you. I literally came up in Oppo research. I actually, before the age of finding everything on the internet, I literally combed dumpsters for Oppo material. I didn't crowdsource it, and I didn't take it from social media. I mean, come on. I had this guy's whole number. I had everything. And I'm like, man, do I press the go button on this? Because I'm so done with it. You know, my friend was freaking out, understandably. They're not a public figure. They were terrified. And I hate good people that I know being made to feel like that because the people didn't like her employer. That's what it was about. She didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. They just didn't like her employer. It doesn't matter if you're a public figure or not. The left will target you as a way to somehow. Sometimes I wonder even if some of them have any ends. I think for some people, it's all about the means. And I mean mean. They get real brave and they try to bully people. And I just do not abide, man. I just don't. So I kind of went a little hog wild a little bit. So I told people, I said, the people I like, I'm sorry. I don't care about the ones I don't, but people I like, I got to apologize a little bit, but I'm human and I can only see so much. You know, it's one thing, I'm used to it. I'm used to the abuse. I'm used to the woman hating left. And when I say woman hating left, I mean it. I'm used to people trying to reduce me to nothing but stereotypical feminine characteristics. I'm used to people who question where I got in life, whether it was on merit or because I'm good at what I do or because of basically a casting couch. Oh, I'm used to it. I've had it all. And it really doesn't move me one way or the other. But when people try to go after my friends who are not public figures because these people are so petty, they can't stand their employer, then I get mad. The right doesn't do this. You know, conservatives and libertarians, right-leaning independents, Republicans, we don't do this. When I worked in Oppo, I worked for the Democrat Party when I was in college. I wasn't even 21 yet. The right does not do this. Do you know why the right doesn't do this? The right doesn't do this because we are not so insecure in our viewpoints. We are not so weak in the faith of our own beliefs that we feel it is a rejection of our self-worth if someone has a different opinion. That's why we don't do this stuff. If someone disagrees with me, I don't care. Well, and people disagree with me all the time. I'm sure I disagree with, you know, people who are my friends, even on stuff that, you know, it's consequential or inconsequential. Welcome to life. We're not the Borg. But the left, man, they cannot deal with it. They are so wrapped up. Who they are is so wrapped up in their politics. They can't separate it. They have ceased to see humanity in other people. Hell, they can't even find common ground with people. If you disagree with them on one thing, you are excommunicado. Just look at how they treat members of their own party. So it's no wonder that they treat people who are on the opposite side of the aisle as they are politically in a cruder fashion. But no, there was almost a Rubicon that I crossed last night. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, I just about was going to go ham. And I thought, man, do I ruin this guy's life with a click? Because I had some serious stuff. I mean, in my years in communications, I've gotten to know some people. And I'm like, do I ruin his life? Do I ruin his business? He's in the same city as I am. I could take out some ads and papers. And it's all factual, so there's no litigation over any kind of defamation. I mean, do I go there? Because someone thought it was cute and funny to share doxed info about a scared woman online just because of her employer. Oh, it made me mad. Just about did it. I saved it. The individual ended up taking their stuff down. I'm like, all right. I get that. I'll give credit where due. You take it down. You acknowledge that you messed up. I'm not like the left. I don't look for apologies and then hold it out like I'm teasing you and then take it away. I mean, I actually want resolution. I think that's a big difference between the right and the left, too. The left doesn't want resolution. I want resolution. This is not about a reckoning for me. That's the wrong R. I want a resolution. So I didn't choose to not cross that Rubicon. I didn't make that choice. The individual who realized, man, maybe I crossed the Rubicon myself by doing this and deleted their stuff. They made that choice. I was joking a little earlier with Kane. I swear this is going to make sense, but so I play video games, right? That's when I get real testy about when people talk about video games. I played games my whole life. I'm a casual gamer. Like, I'm not going to stream. I'm not going to do that because it's cathartic for me. And I'm a situational extrovert. And the most terrifying thing in the world for me is getting into a game lobby with someone and having to try to make small talk. I can't. I can't. I'm that kind of person. And if I do play online, I don't have my mic on. You have no idea. So I was telling Kane, you know, because was playing Warhammer Vermintide, beat the game. Wait, I pre-ordered 40K. I'm very excited about it. And I have a character that I'm like learning how to use because apparently the main boss in 40K is basically that character's sister or something. So I'm like, oh, fight fire with fire. That's kind of my approach for life, too. I've always been that way. Only in the past couple of years have I chose and made an active, like a real active effort to be nice. And it's really hard. Because it doesn't take a lot of strength to just be a jackass. It doesn't. It's a lot harder to be nice to people. And I'm finding it a lot harder to be nicer lately. Especially last night. So I don't know where I am with all that, but I'm done with stuff. I know that. I'm tired of it. The 2024 pettiness is stupid, and I have such a low opinion of everybody who's knee-deep in it as they are. I do. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, we're getting ready to pass this point of no return for 2024, and we've got China getting froggy, and we have an administration that's pretty much, you know, compromised us national security-wise in terms of energy, and we're sitting here fighting over fealty. Over party issues, not ideological issues. Well, like I said, I don't want to be like the left, but I do believe in fighting fire with fire. And I do believe that sometimes, I'm going to go back to, again, real quickly before we go, one of the greatest films ever committed to celluloid, Roadhouse, where Dalton was instructing the crew and saying, look, be nice until it's time to not be nice. And sometimes it's time to not be nice. Last night was one of those for me. Partially today, too. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Senator John Fetterman, and I just want you to know that I'm back and I'm feeling great, 100%. And, you know, during my time during the hospital, the fringies really came up with a conspiracy that I have a body double. And I just want you to know that is just crazy. That's not true. And I, you know, dude, John, what event am I supposed to be doing this afternoon? Dude, really?
I think the only thing that surprises me in that is that he actually does have that many pairs of athletic shorts. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. Failing great?
I know, that's what it sounded like.
Failing fine. Dude, he showed up and that's the way exactly, for those who were watching the simulcast of the radio program, he showed up to his job in the Senate. Dressed in that hoodie and them athletic shorts like that. Just, you know, FYI.
Failing great.
Failing fine. I mean, there's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Coming up, We're going to get into a couple of things here. I got media malpractice for you. We got to have some law and order. We're going to talk more about this infuriating story of how we're subsidizing everybody else's loans again. Gosh, where did we go through this? It seems like we've been here before. Huh. The United Nations is now officially promoting pedophilia. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, that also happened. Yeah, that happened. So I feel like we're going to have that conversation. They said that minors, the United Nations, Washington Free Beacon says that, yes, that minors can consent to sex. Mm-hmm.
We need to kick them out.
Yeah, we need to kick them out. Kick them. Mm-hmm. Out. Yeah. Yeah, we need to do all those things. So you don't want to miss that story. And then we're going to talk about why some in the Republican Party have this obsession with trying to copy Hungary's policies. I don't think a lot of people understand what they're talking about, because in Hungary, you know, they subsidize, like, with taxpayer dollars, people who have, like, what more than, like, four kids. Mm-hmm. If they have four kids, like, the government buys you a minivan, and then they help pay for your mortgage and all this stuff. And people are like, oh, that's great, because they want to have more Hungarians and fewer, you know, immigrants come in. And I'm like, you're literally creating a welfare state. So it kind of seems like, you know, which has failed every other time any country has tried it. So maybe you actually do need some more immigration to help, you know, I don't know, like deepen the shallow part of the gene pool that thinks failed welfare states can actually be made to be successful. We'll talk about that coming up.
Yeah. Listen, just to close the book on Ireland, since we just got back, it was a highly personal trip. There were a lot of cousins there. Did Valerie and Hunter Biden, they flew on Air Force One, did they contribute? Did they pay for airfare, accommodations, ground transportation? What?
This is not the first time. Let's be very, very clear. It is consistent with other presidents when they've had family travel with them abroad. This is nothing new. So I just want to make sure that we make that very clear to the American people. And of course, we followed every protocol that any other president or like every other president has taken when their family has traveled. And so, yes. All right. We took every protocol that is necessary and needed when a family traveled. We did nothing different.
This is
Karine
Jean-Pierre. She was laughing. So, she ends the briefing when people were asking if Hunter Biden paid for his own trip to Ireland last week, because they try to make it out like it's some like it was a business trip, but honestly, it seemed more like a family trip that they got taxpayers to pay for, and then they took Cokehead Hunter with them. That's what it seems like, because it is. It seems like that because it is. Welcome back to the show, top of the second hour. I'm your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, sitting here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the show. You can check out the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, conversation at YouTube as well, and Channel 347 DirecTV. Sign up for the email newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, and find us on Facebook and YouTube and every other where that there's the devil that is social media. All right, so I do want to know if he paid for his own trip, because why do we have to pay for the grifting cokehead 4473 lying son of a President McUnity? I didn't vote for that either. They treated it like it was a family reunion. They didn't act like it was a business trip at all. Like, he did a couple of official appearances, I think, so that they could justify using, you know, executive, the Air Force One, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's, you know, the meanwhile, everyone else is struggling. I have so many headlines about the dwindling of purchasing power. Let me pull this up. Oh my gosh, like what? A ton of different headlines about that. And then the increase in crime and everything else. And then on top of it, we're subsidizing now, beginning May 1st, high-risk home buyers because of a new federal rule on mortgage fees. So people that have riskier credit backgrounds are going to get discounted rates, and higher credit home buyers are going to foot the bill. So you work really hard, you do everything that you're supposed to do, and you're penalized for it. It's shocking. This is one of the people who was served as a Federal Housing Administration commissioner during the Obama years. David Stevens told the New York Post, quote, "It's unprecedented, and my email is full from mortgage companies telling me how unbelievably they are, how shocked they are by this move." It also puts, this puts so much pressure on a particular cohort of buyers in a market that's already trending downward in a major way. They said the average 30-year mortgage rate is hovering at 6.27% as of last week. That's up about 5% from a year ago, more than twice as high as it was 2 years ago. And that's Freddie Mac data. Under the new rules, high credit buyers with scores ranging from 680 or above or to above 780, you're all going to see a spike in our mortgage costs. Applicants who place 15 to 20% down will get the biggest increase in fees. I mean, and this is all to subsidize high-risk borrowers. That's right. Under this pricing structure, a home buyer with 740 FICO credit score, 15 to 20% down payment, you get a percentage surcharge compared to the, it's a 0.750 compared to the old fee of 0.250. And when absorbed into a long-term mortgage rate, that's going to cost you. Buyers with credit scores of 679 or lower will have their fees slashed. So if you have a 620 FICO score and down payment of 5% or less, you get an almost 2% discount fee. 2%. And when absorbed into the long-term rate, that's a half a point of discount. So the fee structure is to make the people who did everything right and worked hard and have a good credit score, you're going to be punished in terms for in favor of the people who, because it's not about income. It's about how good your credit is.
You know what this reminds me of? Is back in the early aughts, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the regulators all made it very easy for people without a job. That all they had to have was a credit score. So all you needed was a decent credit score. You didn't have to prove you had a job. You didn't have to prove you had any assets or any money in the bank. You didn't have to prove you had any income. And they would give you the loan. Now, what happened in 2008? We already know that the market completely crashed, and the real estate market included. Now, here we are putting a foundation of people that have risky credit scores at the base, at the bottom of our mortgage system. It's going to collapse.
It will absolutely collapse. We've seen this before. We've done this before. We've absolutely done it before. I mean, this is just, it is something else. That's what's happening. I mean, it's a welfare state. We're going to talk about how national conservatives are wanting to do that here in the further. They're wanting to expand this further by adopting some of these policies from Hungary to here, because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, this, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that here coming up. So here's the other story I was telling you about. United Nations. Oh boy. Washington Free Beacon. So the UN, they are trying to now mainstream pedophilia. They stated in a report that despite worldwide prohibitions on relations with underage individuals, they said, well, they can be consensual. They said that, quote, and this is a March report, quote, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent may be consensual, in fact, if not law. Now, just so you understand, they're not saying that, oh, if you're an 18-year-old and someone's a 17-year-old, they're not talking about that. Oh, no. They're talking about what you think they're talking about. They said that they should, I mean, that's what they're pushing. They were using language similar to the pedophilia group, the North American Man Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, or isn't that what it, NAMBLA, echoing their language. They're trying to mainstream this. You knew this was coming. This was just a matter of time before this happened. Because you're, if you can bend the rules everywhere else, you're going to be able to bend the rules when it comes to age of consent. Which, don't you think that that kind of underscores the fact that it's never really been about consent for the left? Think about all the stuff that they've been talking about. Whether it is a lack of informed consent concerning, you know, sex changes, etc. I mean, that's what all of this is. It's all about this. The UN report that the Washington Free Beacon, they have linked. I mean, it is messed up. When you read it, because at first, you know, I wanted to think that, oh, man, this is, you know, surely they're not talking about, like I said, just like a 18-year-old and a 17-year, something, you know what I mean? Something that's like, there's nuance like that. No. No, the more that you read it, the more that they are dancing around like adults and actual children. I mean, it is wild. And they also get into gender identity, gender expression, orientation, all of this other stuff in this big, long report. And they talk about minor attracted persons. That's pedophile. What? That what? That's a pedophile. Stop using goofy language to hide what you're really talking about. Why are we involved in the United Nations again? It's like, isn't it like theater to pretend that we have, I mean, we have diplomatic relations with all these other countries. Do we honestly, the United Nations is a theatrical governing body that gets prime real estate in Manhattan, and it wouldn't exist without our subsidies. This is going to be the thing that's next. I'm telling you what, it's already started. It's already started. The Tale of Two Cases. I don't know if you saw some of this, but I was looking at a couple of different, because they also had a shooting that took place at a Sweet 16 over the weekend in Alabama. That was awful. You haven't really heard a lot about that. All the discussion has been only specifically on the one case in particular that had to do with a 16-year-old boy, Ralph Jarl. And there's a lot of reports that are coming out who said that, well, he now apparently it looks like he mistakenly rang his doorbell. Apparently the homeowner was contesting, saying that, you know, he was actually trying to open the door, etc. The homeowner, the 84-year-old, bonded out. I think it was on $200,000. Let me look this up. I have this bookmarked. Yeah, he was released. He bonded out on $200,000. And Andrew Lester, 84, he had previously surrendered to Clay County's detention center in Kansas City. He posted 10% of his bond and was freed. He cannot possess any weapons. He can't have any contact with Jarl. He's a retired aircraft mechanic, and he now faces life in jail. He was charged with first-degree assault and armed criminal action. Now, the first-degree assault, I can see them, as opposed to them trying to go for, like, attempted murder. Right. Because as I was telling you, unless something comes out of this case that significantly changes what we have been told, it's very difficult for me to accept this as a case of defensible, like, self-defense. Castle Doctrine, one of the important things to understand about Castle Doctrine is that there is a legal requirement to bring Castle Doctrine into play. And that legal requirement is that you have to have a reasonable fear that your life is in danger. And that is something that is consistent with every state that has Castle Doctrine. That's why these gun control groups, when they call things like stand your ground, which is inapplicable here, the shoot first, whatever, well, that's not right at all. That's not even remotely accurate. The stand your ground means you have no duty to retreat. You know, they're talking about, you know, whether, you know, you're outside of your house, and Castle Doctrine pertains to your home. But even with that, there still is the legal requirement. And I talked a little bit about this, by the way. I sent out a piece last night. Was it last night or the night before last? I sent out a piece the other day where I discussed this, and I explained that, you know, even, you know, just no matter what happens, that has to come into play. There has to be a reasonable fear of danger. And that's no different. I also linked the Missouri state statute on that. So from what's been publicly reported, I don't see anything that would satisfy that legal requirement unless there's something that we're not being told about the case. But the way that it's being presented and the way that people are talking about it, as opposed to, for instance, the completely remorseless murderer who killed the 20-year-old woman that accidentally drove up the guy's driveway. The neighbors called him a narcissist with a short fuse. He raged about trespassers. I mean, that what he engaged in was absolutely not self-defense. Again, regardless of Castle Doctrine, there was no reasonable fear that his life was in danger. I don't see anything publicly reported that satisfies that legal requirement either. But one case is getting more attention than everyone else because the left wants to play up the racial aspect, of which there has been no evidence aside from a goofy accusation from the Clay County prosecutor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just saw this headline that floated past. Strep cases have spiked 30% over the pre-pandemic peak. Cases of strep surged this past winter. They said it hit the highest rate of infection since 2017. It's new analysis from Epic Research, and they say strep throat infections followed a seasonal pattern, and then they went out of control. It's like a crazy peak. And I wonder if it's because everybody had to stay inside for 2 years and their immune systems were totally weakened. I wonder if it's because of that or because the injection from the government totally destroys your immune system, making it impossible for you to like fend off basic everyday illnesses. Anyway, as we move, what? There's the wind. It's the wind that does it, that did that. So in addition to dealing with a PR disaster, Anheuser-Busch is now also hit with a civil rights complaint over what is being called discriminatory hiring practices. Now, normally I would look at the story and be like, oh, well, let's see if this accusation has any merit. But after their Bud Light stunt, I don't GAF. Eat your own. Go ahead. Moving on. Kevin Costner and Taylor Sheridan, it's said that they are not getting along right now and that there's a feud that needs to end, but I don't know if I necessarily see it like that as opposed to, this is from the New York Post, as opposed to Kevin Costner wanting to do his own Western project and Taylor Sheridan, who writes literally apparently everything, all of his shows, except the one with Jeremy Renner. I think he actually did rely upon a team, but he still directed every episode and basically wrote the blueprint. I think he might be a little overloaded, but I don't think that the feud exists as much as it's being reported. And of course, you heard Fox is paying a $787.5 million settlement in the Dominion case. Has CNN or MSNBC ever had to be held accountable for anything? No. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
So Monday, you're going to have three of the lawmakers who protested after...
Peacefully protested
after the Nashville Covenant School shooting. Have any of the victims or the victims' families been invited to the White House?
I don't have anything to read out to you about any invite.
Why?
I just don't have anything at this time to read out to you any invite. What I can say to you right now is that the president is focused on getting things done. He's focused on making sure that we are protecting our communities, that we're protecting our schools, that we're protecting our churches, we're protecting our grocery stores, that people, as we know in Buffalo, went to the grocery on a Saturday and got murdered. 10 of them were murdered. We see what's happening in our schools. And that's why he's bringing these legislators here, to have that conversation and to see what else can be done and to highlight that. That's what the president is using the bully pulpit for.
That's the worst answer ever. That's why I played that Lily Allen song Smile, because that was the first thing I thought of was that chorus. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this second hour. Woo! That's not an answer. That was Corinne Jean-Pierre just a little bit ago, and that was Pete Ducey asking her the question that we've all wondered. So where was, did the folks at the school, Did the survivors, did they get an invitation to the White House? Did they get a call? Did they get anything? Anything like that? But they have the three lawmakers who protested, including the grifter. I was surprised that that one Tennessee grifter wasn't legit standing on that baby coffin that he brought in as a stunt, and that he was actually carrying it. Was a surprising thing to see, ladies and gentlemen. That is still a horrible answer for her to give. And they interrupted a session. They got in trouble because they didn't follow the rules, and it doesn't matter. Oh, but the Biden is actually focused on doing something. What do you mean doing something? I hear this vagary from all of these people. Doing something as to what? Doing what? Exactly. And it's like doing something about assault. What? Define it. I can't. Oh, that's right. Nor can the ATF director. All right. One of the other things that I'm really frustrated about, that we got to have a little toxy talk about, is because in addition to having to deal with this ridiculousness, I don't want to have to deal with stupidity on my own team. Now, I say this too. One of the reasons that we all get along so well is because I'm pretty sure we all hate everybody and everything pretty equally, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I consider one of my BFFs the sweet meteor of death. And you think I'm joking. Sadly, I'm not. Or, you know, it's not sad at all. It's a wonderful thing. But I see why some people get so exhausted. So I had a conversation with a couple of friends who... We have another friend that we've known for a long time. Great, you know, there. And this person works in politics. And during any kind, when an election season kicks off, we've known this person for a long time. They are impossible to talk to. They are insufferable. And they know this. We joke about it all the time. It's like worse this time around than ever. Than ever. I wanted to be like, I'm going to hang you with your scarf that you wear. Those little scarves that they tie around their necks. I'm like, I'm going to just take it and just, you know, stop it. It's insufferable. And you just feel like you just, and my friends were like, well, it is exhausting. 2024 hasn't even kicked off and we are tired already. I get it. And it doesn't help when it's like we create these hurdles for ourselves. Never, ever underestimate Republicans' ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Never, ever underestimate our ability. It's like Lindsey Graham after the abortion thing, right? So I saw this, that I put this out there because I saw some people going, well, you know, and they weren't just talking about like DeSantis. They were talking about Brian Kemp and all these other Republican governors in these red states where they have passed, you know, abortion bans after X amount of weeks. And I think it's, I can't remember Georgia's right now. That's not the point. The point is that they were saying, oh, no, that's not going to work across the country. Who said they were going to use that plan across the country? I see people on the right, you know, feathering up this little straw man for themselves and then setting it on fire, acting like they solved an issue that no one proposed. No one said that that was going to be the thing going forward. You morons. No one said it. I say that lovingly. No one, maybe. No one said that. See, here's the point that I made online. When it comes to Republican abortion messaging, first off, we have some Republicans that are taking the bait. We have some people on the right who are so damn scared. They're terrified of their own shadow. These are the people who are like, I don't know, maybe we just leave Bud alone. Or, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't fight Disney. Or, I don't know, maybe we should just talk about abortion in elections. You know, we can't have strict abortion bans. I talked about this last week. That's not what is being disputed. What I'm disputing is the illogical straw man that these people are creating to argue against instead of addressing the actual matter. Here's the fact of the matter. The majority of Americans actually support a ban after 15 weeks. That's pretty average. And when I say the majority, I'm including Democrats in this too. You're looking at over 60% of Americans. This is an average of, I can't even count on two hands how many polls have been taken, where some of them are oversampled Republicans, some of them are sampled even, some of them are oversampled Democrat. So it kind of all evens itself out. And they're pretty, and some of them are likely voters, some of them are registered voters. When it comes to abortion messaging, what works well in Florida or Georgia is not going to work well in Wisconsin. And what works well in Wisconsin is not going to work in Georgia or Florida or Alabama. But here's what's stupid. Making predictions by assuming that this isn't known is dumb. Making predictions, assuming that this isn't known, particularly by some of the few GOP that not only win elections, they actually win the elections they run, but they also pick up non-traditional Republican voters. That happened in Georgia and it's happened in Florida. I mean, I'm sorry, you don't get Miami-Dade. You don't get Palm Beach unless you get Democrats. You don't get a supermajority, supermajority. No Democrats in statewide elected office throughout the entire state of Florida unless you pick up Democrats. Now that sounds like a blueprint to win. I'm tired of seeing people on the right go back to this old and broke-ass pattern of being scared and running from tough issues by demanding that we walk back from this. We can't have this. No one said that. But you know what the messaging should be? Is to focus on how extreme the Democrat Party is compared to the rest of America. That's the messaging. And I think I'm going to trust the people who win elections on that more than the people who don't. I'm so tired, like I said, of Republicans running away from these tough issues by demanding we walk back from this, or maybe we don't fight so hard for women's sports, or maybe we don't fight these, you know, giant corporations who benefited from anti-capitalist government intervention. The messaging problem is not coming from the people taking these issues on. The messaging problem is coming from the people who want to walk back and run from the fight. If you can't sell freedom, you suck. So a friend of mine once said. I mean, there are only about, I think, if we're being generous, like 12% of Americans that actually support the Democrat position of abortions up to birth. And I'm not exaggerating that. It is abortion up to birth, and they want taxpayer funding. See, they say they want to protect the Hyde Amendment. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Hyde Amendment's a joke because money is fungible. Everyone had to go out and buy dictionaries and thesauruses a few years ago because some people were introduced to that word for the very first time. Fungibility. Fungible. They had to learn about that concept so they could understand the Hyde Amendment is kind of stupid. Really doesn't actually create a barrier. But Democrats actually wanted to get rid of it. That's why you had a bunch of Democrat senators, including Raphael Warnock, who proposed a bill doing just that. Now, the other issue, can we have a discussion on this about lionizing Hungary? This is another thing I see NatCons doing. I saw someone saying Hungary has an awesome model for encouraging women to have kids. They give women a 25% lifetime income tax deduction for every child, 4 kids, no taxes for life, blah, blah, blah. Where's the dad? Because I was looking at, they didn't say a damn thing about the dad. It just sounds like they're paying women to have kids. And they don't mention anything about the marital unit, which if you want to have a discussion about what is or is not at fault for the breakup of the American family, I will point you to that. Why do we have NatCons lionizing this? You know, Hungary gives cash for mortgages and they buy minivans for new families. You know that too? They do. I mean, you can like Google it and look it up. This is an actually something that they do. This is a real thing. That's called welfare. It's called welfare. They give a cash subsidy to get families a minivan. They give them a cash subsidy, depending on family size, etc., to purchase a home. That is welfare. When has that worked in the United States? Dare I say that's the problem, is it not? So what, because Hungary does it? You think that we've already done it and it's failed. That sounds like welfare. We have people on the right who are literally arguing for welfare. And they talk about, oh, having kids. Well, wait a minute. I noticed that you didn't say you're paying people to get married, but you're paying them to churn out babies. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Seems like you got the cart before the horse on this, don't you? I mean, if you wanted to be like all pro-family and throw your virtue around, it seems like that would be the proper order of things, right? So I call BS on this. This is a welfare system that's wearing the veneer of being virtuous and pro-family, but it's not saying anything about the daddies. Like with most of Western society and this hedonistic secular culture, dads are forgotten. Just like they are here. And you have NatCons eating it up. Blah, 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 eating it up. It's like Step Brothers, Kobayashi. You know what I'm talking about. That's what they're doing. Catalina Wine Mixer. I mean, and someone asked me, well, do you have a better idea to rejuvenate the collapse of the nuclear family? I'm like, so your solution is to create a welfare state? The kind that failed here? I mean, I was reading about all of this. This person did not. They were really pushing this. The other thing, too, that I find funny is if they were trying to suggest that women wouldn't be working because they're staying at home with the kids, then how are the tax breaks coming into play here if they're not working? If the women aren't working? I mean, it doesn't make any. So that's why I'm like, this is not families. It's about women. You're not looking at families. You're looking at women particularly. That's what the policies are doing. So how is that pro-family? It's not. Read between the lines, folks. I don't know why so many people are like so like about Hungary and these policies. I mean, this is dumb. It's welfare that doesn't even actually make an attempt to be pro-family. Why is this? Why are we working? Why are we celebrating this? Why is this guy getting involved? Orban getting invited to all of these like conservative things? What? What? Oh, my gosh. It's like everybody turned into Fetterman. All right, we got to get moving because we got Florida Man on the way. Oh, I know. Florida Man, save us. It's like Calgon. Save us, Florida Man.
Take me away.
Take us away.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Do you know that if, according to Autoblog, if you're near naked and you run into a swamp at night, it's actually makes you easier to spot. So a 23-year-old man drove his Nissan across the center line, collided with a semi, but instead of exchanging information and waiting for police, he stripped to his underwear and took off into the swamp. Woo! Police say the crash happened about 8:30 p.m. near Mulberry in Polk County, Florida. And after the collision, the truck driver was sore, was able to give a description of the man. He did strip to his underwear, and then he ran into the water. Dogs found the driver a mile deep in the swamp, wearing only his boxers. Now, I mean, it's in a swamp with water, and there's gators there. Officials speculated that the man likely stripped to make it harder to find him, but they said that wearing only your britches actually makes it easier to spot you. He did not get eaten by a gator, so that is true. No, he did take off because he was driving on a suspended license and without insurance. So now he also has left the scene of a crash with injuries. And if he would have just stayed there, you know, clothed and dealt with it, then, you know, it wouldn't have been a thing. But, you know, it's Florida Man, so I mean, I just still can't, you know. Oh, man, let's see. This... I don't even know. This is nuts. So this is in Broward County. A Tamarack man, a Florida man, was arrested and charged with domestic battery by strangulation after he choked a woman who asked him to turn down the volume on a religious video he was watching. According to the arrest report, the victim told deputies that the altercation began when she asked the man, Leroy Jackson, 53. Oh, man, you never go Leroy Jenkins, man. Or Jackson. When she asked him to turn down the volume of his video, it was a verbal request, and apparently it escalated to a physical altercation. He got mad at her because she asked it. He pushed her. She pushed him away, and he responded by placing both hands on her neck and squeezing to the point of restricting her airflow. She said she could barely speak. She called 911, and she allowed pictures to be taken of her injuries. She wouldn't provide a sworn tape statement. They did take the guy in, transported him to Broward jail, where he was bonded out $1,500. I mean, nothing says, you know, religious like being mad that someone interrupted your viewing and you try to choke them out. Oh, my gosh. So in the villages.
The villages.
The villages. A man in red boxer briefs was found sleeping in the trunk of a car, twitching. 39-year-old Todd Curry curled up in the fetal position in an open trunk of his car this past Saturday while it was parked in a parking lot of a closed business. And according to the Lady Lake Police Department, he was wearing only red boxer briefs. He has a long history of arrest. They told him to put his pants on. He had trouble slipping his legs into his pants. He admitted that he was using meth. He was twitching. They found foil and 3 grams of meth, 0.3 grams of meth in the trunk. So he was arrested on third degree felony charge of possession of meth and booked in Lake County Jail on $2,000 bond. You never want to be twitching in a...
No.
In the car, in the trunk here. Golly, come on. And it's humid there. All right, well, I don't know what that matters, but it does. We have a whole other hour on the way. Stick with us. Back after this.
So some of this is, yes, it's taking away opportunities in athletics and some other stuff, and that's really, really important. But I think there's also just the issue of, are we going to be a society based on truth, or are we going to be a society based on deceit? And if you take a man and they dress up as a woman and you tell me I have to accept that they're a woman, then you're asking me to be complicit in a lie. And I just refuse to do that. So we've got to tell the truth. I think, you know, the truth will set you free. And let's just be honest
about
what's going on here.
Lie. You're making someone a party to that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen across the country. You can also stream the show. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 Direct TV. I mean, I like that answer. I think that was a very appropriate answer. You do not want to force people to be complicit into this in this appropriation or in whatever this is. And it makes complete sense. I wish that more politicians would just state it instead of, well, let's not. Ugh. I think that I think that one of the reasons why I think maybe I was kind of throwing the back and forth in my head as to whether or not I was going to write a piece on this. I kind of think one of the reasons why it seems like 2024 started kind of early, because it has, is due to the fact that Republicans are grappling with identity, like, of themselves, the party. What ideology shapes the party? And there's this fight between people who know better and then this NatCon stuff that we've been talking about, where these people think that history began the day they were born, and that, oh my gosh, could you imagine, the Republican Party's never thought about this. If we just incorporate this welfare scheme like this, then, you know, we'll make it work because it's never been done before and we're Republicans. No, that just means you're a bad Republican that is trying to cop a socialist policy. That's all that means. The policy didn't work because the wrong people implemented it. The policy didn't work because it was bad policy. And that ultimately is at the crux of all of this. I've seen this in a couple of different places, not just, you know, some Republicans kind of, because you've seen some governors. I think it was like there was some controversy with Kristi Noem and the girls in sports bill and all of this. And then apparently that's what House Republicans are going to be voting on tomorrow. And then Biden has already said that he'd veto it if it made it to his desk. But in this too, let me pull this up. I've seen this pushed, a couple of these types of policies where we have a party that doesn't really want to address the out of control entitlement spending, where some think that, well, the left used government this way, so let's weaponize government and use it against them because, you know, like, again, they think that they're more virtuous, therefore it's not going to matter. I don't know. I think that that's one of the reasons why it all seems like it's kicked off super early, because the Republican Party has to figure out what its identity is going forward. And I don't really think that it's about expanding the party to be Big Tent that brought this on. I don't think it's a Big Tent issue. I think that there are some people who want to do things that they think haven't been done before in the Republican Party, but they have, and they failed. And that's how Republicans lost a lot of power and lost a lot of elections. Whether it's, like, for instance, where's the story? Let me pull this up. There are some lawmakers out there that are pushing things like Swedish's, you know, socialized system, Swedish healthcare. And like, J.D. Vance even said this, like, why is public healthcare so much better in Sweden than our own country, etc.? Well, they also have socialized. It is. I mean, you can argue, but that is, it's a socialized system. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. That's just a fact. This is what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't even know if populism, people are calling it populism, but I don't even think that's populism. I think that's a misnomer. That is literally trying to grow government because you think that you can wield it better than the left did, but it's still big government. That's still an anti-conservative, opposite Republican ideology position. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, why can't, you know, a big old giant country run a total medical sector and why can't we base our entire healthcare system on a country that has, you know, maybe a third of the population that we do? It doesn't make any sense. But I've seen this kind of stuff before. I've seen things that I've heard Bernie Sanders say or AOC say kind of repackaged and tidied up and presented as like an original Republican policy. It's still big government. Now, I'm not saying that all these politicians and some people in the Republican Party, they're proposing these things. I'm not saying that they have all bad ideas or that they're entirely bad. I do think that there is a temptation, however, to lean into this. And I don't think it's populism. This is socialism that is trying to masquerade as populism, and it's not. And that's a feature of this NatCon thing. I've seen it, whether it's talking about Hungary and their welfare system or and how some people think that we should emulate that. I mean, to the point where like Viktor Orban is invited to CPAC and talks to conservatives. I mean, this is the kind of the stuff I'm talking about here. I just think it's something that we need to be hyper aware of, because we were able, people who are conservatives, libertarians, and classically liberal independents, the reason that there's a big tent on the Republican side of things isn't because we didn't, because we started doing those things. It's because we don't do those things. Democrats do all of that. They push all of that. We have entitlement, out of control entitlement system. We have a welfare system already. It's because we are about conserving the power of the individual, limiting the reach of the state, which then gives way more opportunity. That's what's attracting people. I mean, you're selling freedom. And there are just, I think, some Republicans that are too damn afraid of the fight. Honestly, they think that they can't sell people on freedom, so they're going to offer them these big government things and try to act like it's populism. It's not. You're being Democrat light. Stop it. This is a real problem. So in addition to kind of like having these candidates fight it out, I really do think that that's one of the reasons. I think that makes sense. That's one of the reasons why it seems like it's starting so early, because the Republican Party is grappling with this. I mean, at least it's not as bad as Democrats. Do we have that video of Fetterman kicking off, chairing his first committee? Because, I mean, I play this and we were listening to this on break, and at first thought, I'm like, oh gosh, it's just, I feel bad for him. It's funny, but I do feel bad for this dude, because he is clearly in over his head. I told you what I observed when I was at the State of the Union, and how he literally was reading cues off of everybody around him, trying to figure out what he should or shouldn't do, how he should respond. Listen to this, though. This was John Fetterman chairing his first committee meeting, his first committee hearing today. This is after he showed up in, at least he's not in a hoodie and shorts. I mean, at least it looks like he's wearing a suit, but this did not sound well. Listen.
I called to this hearing of the U.S. Senate subcommittee and food and nutrition, specialty crops, organics, and research to order. Chairwoman Stabenow.
Good morning.
And Ranking Member Boozman, thank you so much for coming. I thank you for your leadership on this committee, and I look forward to working with you to pass a farm bill. A farm bill that works for small farmers, rural communities, and hungry Americans. I would also like to thank my ranking member, really Senator awkward. Braun.
I feel bad for the
I
dude.
I look forward to working closely with you.
I mean, come
SNAP
on.
Is one of the most
There's
effective programs
guys,
to fight
that's just,
in the
I it, that is rough. Do you think he knows what's going on? I mean, I think he has a kind of an idea, but I don't think he can keep up because he's had, you know, serious strokes. I
think physically and emotionally, he isn't prepared to do the job. And I think right now he's leaning on procedure. Someone has scripted things out for him, and he's leaning on procedure, and he has those, you know, you can see the people behind him are there to guide him through procedure as he chairs. And it is. I think it's almost abuse at this point to take somebody who obviously needs some rest, care, healing, whatever you want to call it. He needs that time. He can't do the job that's required of him. Let's figure this out.
I don't know. I mean, it's almost like they made him chair of the committee to just, not out of consideration for him, but to spite others.
Yes, exactly.
Doesn't it seem that way?
Yes.
That's rough stuff, man. That is rough stuff. The left is going bonkers right now because it just passed in Florida. The lessons on teaching other people's kids in kindergarten about other people's sex lives and disallowing parental involvement, the bill that fixed that, passed. It's the Parental Rights and Education Bill, what the left calls Don't Say Gay. You know what? When I went to Florida, I said gay real loud. Uh-oh. When I got there. I went, gay! I didn't get arrested. I didn't get arrested. Actually, I was totally arrested, and I was yeeted out into the sea. Didn't happen. The bill doesn't actually say anything about it, about that. The bill is like, hey, I mean, and I read the bill. Let me break it down. If you don't believe me, you can read it for yourself. It's online on this thing called the internet. and I've linked it before in other pieces. Literally, the bill's all, hey, parents, you get to, as taxpayers and as parents of your children, you can approve of, you know, what they're being taught in school and what kind of books are in their library. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Yay. That's literally the bill. And they're like, it says that you can't say gay. No, it means a teacher can't walk into her fourth grade class and be like, hey, guys, I had sex with these types of genitals last night. I'm not kidding you. There are like actual grown people who think that they have a right to sit here and share about their pathetic lives to that extent with your kids. Nobody stop it. You need help if you have to validate yourself by other people's strangers' children. No, they're my students. That they have parents. You are an educator. You don't own children. You are an employee of taxpayers as a public teacher, public school teacher. I mean, and then people, sidebar, people complain about the salaries of public school teachers. You know what? Why don't everybody check their own priorities? Because everybody has no problem going and paying tickets to go see basketball games and football games. And those people get outrageous. Those players get outrageous salaries based on your money and your attendance and your eyeballs. Now, maybe if you valued education the same way, then it wouldn't be an issue. But you can't say that to Democrats because thinking is hard.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, they're saying that Bank of England is saying is that High Street goes contactless. Cash is going to become less usable as shoppers embrace the internet and reject actual cash. That's what the deputy governor of the Bank of England has warned. We've been hearing this from people before. I've seen some great explainers as to what that actually means to smaller businesses and also how much banks make off of those transactions. I mean, you end up losing, you know, a lot of more money than you realize. Americans now spend more on legal weed than chocolate. I will never understand this. I mean, doesn't, like, weed smells like a skunk.
It does.
Chocolate is amazing.
It does.
Chocolate tastes delicious. Weed smells like a skunk's butt. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Why? I never thought I'd say that. No, if you think I'm crazy, look, $30 billion compared to $18 billion.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? $30 billion compared to $18 billion. A new study. And now it's like they said sales increased by, I mean, millions and millions of dollars more. Since Washington and Colorado were the only people that had the legalized. So there's a lot of other stuff that goes on with that too. But interesting. Let's see. This New Zealand feral cat hunting competition for children prompts backlash. Animal rights organizations are upset. They said that pets could be killed during the event and animals could suffer prolonged deaths. It's a hunting competition to kill feral cats for a cash prize. That seems, they said there's a good chance someone's pet. Yeah, probably. That sounds
fun.
I mean, I don't even like cats. I'm allergic to them, actually, like seriously allergic to them. But I think they're weird, and I've never actually held one. But I mean, I don't know. New York City is telling people, pick up your dog do. They said that because they're telling people it's a crime and you're going to be fined if you don't do it. I thought that was obvious, right? Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Unfortunately, as I sit here today, I cannot assure this committee or the American taxpayer we are not currently funding the Taliban.
That's not what I want to hear. That's not at all what I want to hear. That's from a hearing where you had the IG, John F. Sopko. He's the IG for Afghanistan Reconstruction. Obama appointed him to this post. And he's like, yeah, I can't guarantee that we're not funding them. Hey, happy tax day. I'm going to go jump off my roof now. Hi, Dana Lash here with you. You're curmudgeon. Can't even voice the words now. Good to be with you the bottom of this third hour.
Don't jump.
That's what Biden would say. I'll go ahead. Oh, man. So, I mean, right. Duh. I know that, right? I mean, we know that we are. I'd be shocked if we weren't. Let's just put it like that. I'd be surprised if we weren't, is the issue. Because we don't know what the hell went. It was such a disaster. It was a FUBAR departure made worse by President McCheese Brain Unity. Yeah, they do. Kane's right. They keep trying to rewrite how this goes. They keep trying to rewrite history on this. And it's, I mean, we all remember, we saw people hanging on to planes and stuff. We know. We know how it works. We saw. Man. All right. So I have to read this tweet. Ted Lieu, because I told you Florida passed the parental rights and education bill. The one that does not say anything about, does not literally have the letters G, A, and Y in any way in that bill, in that order. Right. Or in any other formation. But Democrats have lost their mind. Ted Lieu tweeted, kids in MAGA states will now be kept ignorant. They won't know gay marriage is law. They won't be taught facts that make them uncomfortable. They will be cuddled in a MAGA bubble. Blah, blah, blah. Has he been to Florida? He thinks that people in Florida don't know about gay people. Dude, have you heard of Miami? What? I mean, what? I good heavens. It doesn't say any of this. ABC says, the Florida Board of Education voted to expand the so-called don't say gay. Because it was going up through fourth grade, now it's through 12th. I mean, no one says that. No one actually, it's about parents, you morons. It's about parents being able to make determinations along with other parents in their schools as to what the curriculum is going to be and whether or not, you know, they can, what books are going to be allowed beyond like the basic books in the library. Meaning, do you want your sixth grader learning about porn and looking at drawings of how two dudes get it on? You might think I'm being crass. That's literally what was in the book. If you think that I'm being crass, then you probably have a major problem with, I mean, I'm not exaggerating at all. In fact, I'm kind of like sugarcoating it. I can't even show you on the simulcast. We'll get a call from DirecTV. We totally will too. We so will. I can't describe it in detail, even what was in some of the books, because we'll have our program directors from, I'm not doing it program directors. Everybody just step away from the phone. There you go. I'm just saying, you guys would see, you guys would be all upset. Understandably, you'd be calling me being like, Dana, you can't be reading this book on air. Well, then why is it in schools accessible by elementary school kids and junior high kids? That's the whole point. Parents want to be able to have input. It was the parents that are mad about this. It was the parents that started it, and it was the parents that saw it through. And it is to the detriment of Democrats' own electoral chances to ignore the fact that there were just an epic ton of Democrats also involved in this that were pushing this through. I mean, that's just political seppuku to ignore that. You want to talk about being totally clueless as to your base? People don't really, Republicans understand it's Democrats that are having the issues. Whew. So that's a big deal, a super big deal. Man, I mean, the way that it is being portrayed is so disingenuous. I'm waiting to see if someone's like, oh, they're going to get someone that's coming. They're going to get somebody killed. I'm just waiting. Oh, my heavens. So a couple of other, because I want to make sure that we're getting everything in. We were talking about some of the economic stuff that's incredibly troubling, what it has to do with the loans, etc. And this, we've been looking at this case, the 84-year-old and the 16-year-old, and how that's really being used as to push a lot of racial division, which is unfortunate because now no one's paying attention to some of the other stuff that's happening. I mean, there's stupid people in the world. The end. But you know what we haven't discussed, Kane, is the one headline that I have on my rundown about the UFO hearing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
No, it's true. There are a bipartisan group of lawmakers that are looking to solve the decades-old UFO mystery. Today, Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities are holding the second, only the second hearing that we've ever had on this in over 50 years. They have a couple of things. They have some, there's a webpage on it in the Senate, United States Senate Service Committee, United States Senate Committee on Armed Services. There's not really anything. They don't have anything on the page, but they say that the Department of Defense, after all of this stuff with the Navy fighter jets and seeing all these unidentified, you know, phenomena or unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP, there was this publication in 2017 of all of this crazy video that was recorded by Navy fighter jets and briefings by naval aviators who were witnessing all of these weird objects that maneuvered in just extraordinary fashion. And so they said, yeah, we need to have some hearings on this. We've got to talk about this. So the DOD established this All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO. And they got a pretty big hip, they got a pretty big hand of authority to analyze UFOs, and this is how it's written via The Hill, that exceed the known state of the art in science or technology. And so to cut through some of the bureaucracy, lawmakers demanded that AARO's director report to top Pentagon and intel community leadership. So that's going to be there's only one witness in today's hearing, and it's the UAP office director. And they're going to probably, I mean, I'm sure they're going to ask about funding and, you know, the scientific mission and how they're executing said mission, et cetera. I'm sure that there's going to be some discussion on the, you know, the Chinese balloons. But this was weird in that it's based on that 2017 report. They said that of the, and this is from BBC, of the 500 plus UAP reports by service members in recent years, they were asking as to how many were considered to have remarkable flight characteristics and whether the AARO had confidence that these UAPs exhibited highly advanced tech. And they had this 2022 assessment that said 366 of the most recently reported UAP incidents, they said, judged more than half as exhibiting unremarkable characteristics. So that means, or at least intimates, that 150 of these reports involve objects that demonstrated pretty remarkable characteristics that you couldn't just say that was clutter or that's a spy balloon or something like that. Because the one thing that it shared is they had unbelievable maneuvering capability. And in some of the video footage, if you see, I mean, you have stuff that moves faster than what we, that just, I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't even know how to describe it. You've seen some of the video, right, Kane? I don't know how to describe some of the objects moving. I really don't. I mean, I've watched some of this stuff a million times. I don't know how you describe the movement of it.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, amazing. How else can you describe it?
Like what? Like how does it operate?
It defies physics as we know it.
Yeah. So they said that the UAP that they were looking at, and it's implying here that this is like 150 of the 150 reports, quote, appeared to remain stationary in winds aloft, move against the wind, maneuver abruptly, or move at considerable speed without discernible means of propulsion. Now, the stuff that's been released is so heavily redacted. I mean, we kind of joked about this when it came out. There were literal pages where it's just entire black boxes, page after page. So much is redacted. But in spite of that, you can still see that, you know, these naval pilots are, I mean, they're blown away by this stuff. There was a piece that The Hill wrote. This was in 22 of July of 22. And it said that in April of 2014, four naval aviators narrowly escaped disaster. They entered highly controlled airspace for a training exercise. They said their two FA-18F fighter jets nearly collided with a UFO. They said that they were frustrated. Dozens of their fellow aviators were frustrated because they said that people have to address it because it made it a near catastrophe inevitable. And they said that the flight characteristics are highly unusual, et cetera, et cetera. That's what and they were really frustrated by this. Man, why are we not talking more about this? This would be the time where government's like, okay, let's go ahead and release some of this UFO stuff while everybody's distracted. You know,
that's exactly what they'll use it for.
I mean, if the government were going to come out and be like, guys, yeah, there's some aliens out there, and we don't know if they hate us or not. I mean, this would be the time to do it, right? Like, spark a giant political slap fight. Everybody's looking one way, and then here it reminds me. What is this movie called? I watched this the other day off chance. Hang on, I'm going to Google this because it reminded me of this movie. It was. It was not Aliens versus, I can't remember what it was called. I'll find out. Anyway, it was about this movie where you had zombies and vampires and all of this stuff, and everyone was figuring out freaks of nature. It's called Freaks of Nature. And they're all trying to figure out all these different outcasts that are in all of these different, like, some are zombies, some are this. They're all trying to figure out how to live together. Nobody gets along. They're all, like, super hyper-focused on their own problems, and they're dealing with their own issues, and et cetera, et cetera. And then aliens come. An actual Armageddon alien invasion. And they are so busy fighting each other that they didn't even know that a literal, actual Orwellian, this giant alien invasion was happening. And it was actually it's a funny movie. It's a comedy.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, it's like some War of the Worlds stuff. I mean, legit like that, like giant War of the Worlds type aliens. And so it made me think of that. Like, man, if you were going to, you know, really drop something about that, that's when you do it. So then it makes me wonder if it gets crazy and you keep hearing more of these, like, stories kind of on the slide, it makes me wonder that, how bad is it?
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This before, and I'm going to get in trouble, but I have said this before, and it's been in print. I don't know what the difference between our Christian right and the Taliban is. I have no idea what the difference is.
You're not the only person who's said that.
I just don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
What's happening in this country right now in the name of religion is so dangerous.
I know the difference. You want to know what the difference is? Patty, what's her name? Lapone or whatever?
Yeah.
I know what the difference is. See, the difference between the Taliban and Christians are that the Taliban believe in genital mutilation like you, and Christians don't. There's the difference. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you as we wrap up this third hour. That seems like a pretty, you know, I mean, if you were,
yeah.
I mean, just saying. Also, is she wearing overalls?
Is she?
On The View? I mean, okay. I'm just wondering. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the trends are. I'm just, you know.
Looks kind of overallish in the top half there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows? So that's what's her face? Patty. I don't even know what her name is.
Lapone?
Yeah. Anyway, so that answers that question. As I told you, they had they passed the parental rights and education bill in Florida. The school group did, and the left is going nuts. So I'm pretty sure we're going to have some. They expanded it up till 12th grade instead of just, what is it? I think up till 4th or 6th grade. So they are, it's going to be, we're going to have some good sound bites for tomorrow. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Cain today and stupidity.
All right, Karine Jean-Pierre gets the question, why is it taking so long for President Biden to call Xi Jinping, I always get that mixed up. And this is her response to
that. They created COVID. There is reason to think that there were more spy balloons than the White House has said. Why is it taking so long for President Biden to call Xi and tell him to cut it out?
We have said over and over again that the president intends to call President Xi.
Intends.
I don't have a call to read out to you.
So ever since spy balloons, he's just intending to call. Good stuff,
yeah.
President Biden.
There you go. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a great night. Sign up for Substack. Back with you tomorrow.